What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is episode 88 of Epitome of Stupidity, your favorite allegedly metal podcast that is maybe, apparently, possibly back from the dead. Hey, if you're hearing this, then maybe that's a thing. In the background, you can hear tunage from Octus. They are fucking cool, and we're going to talk more about them here shortly. The song in the background that you are hearing is called Silfra. No, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but I said it anyways. They are a band from Philly that is two bass players, a cellist, and a drummer. And if you think, holy shit, that sounds like some doomy awesomeness, you are on the right track. It's been a while, so I will introduce myself. I am Clint, your host for the day, or the duration, or some notable amount of time. Usually, my buddy Brian is with me, but we all know that A, he smells funny, and B, he's a busy guy. So I think in this kind of return, you're probably going to be stuck with a lot of me. He will still be around here and there helping out with things, but like I said, you're probably going to be stuck with hearing me getting progressively drunker, talking to people and saying things. So you've got that to look forward to. The thing that I always liked about the show is being able to talk for a second about shit that I'm listening to. So, since Brian's not here to tell me not to, I'm going to do that. Currently I'm listening to, I'm trying to fast forward time for some reason. It's January 27th, and I've recently got out of my winter post-metal run, and it's led me to things like Red Sparrows, which has led me to things like Pink Floyd, and somehow I ended up in a Pearl Jam and Deftones loop. But more than anything here recently, I've been jamming the fuck out of that Slower album, which is a handful of doom metal and other all-stars covering Slayer songs. You guessed it. Slower, and it's fucking badass. Holy macaroni, what the fuck. That it was a great idea that worked out to fruition in all of its fucking glory, and you should check that out. Also, I'm hoping to talk to them, somebody from there, here in the next, I don't know, picking amount of time. In the kind of rebirth of this fucking stupidity, I plan on talking to a lot of the normal run of things here with bands that are just awesome and you probably haven't heard a ton of because, well, A, the bands that you've heard a ton of don't want to talk to me, and B, the bands that you haven't heard of, you should. That's why we're doing this. This will include, I think, to some degree, maybe some locals. Obviously, the easiest thing for me to do here is Columbus locals because that's where I am. But I think there will be opportunities for me to kind of expand that with contacts and people that we're friendly with in other areas and, you know, maybe kind of live vicariously through other local scenes and see what they've got going on. But this is all a kind of one stupid ass step at a time type thing. And this is the first one. If it sounds like I might have forgotten how to say some of these things, it's because I have. Something I haven't forgotten is that, you know, like me, you're probably drinking a shitty beer right now. Well, I'm drinking a Modelo. You're drinking a shitty beer. Probably. Maybe. Who knows? I don't fucking know. We could all do better with drinking. And to do that, you should find you some mead. And not just any mead, but some Brimminghorn mead. Because those guys make literal award-winning mead, and it is fucking delicious. You like delicious. I like delicious. We both like alcohol. We should get some fucking Brimminghorn mead. And to do that, we should use code EPITOMEED to get a 10% discount off your order. That's EPITOMEAD. Those guys have previously been the coolest. They are currently the coolest. And they will in the future be the coolest. And they will always be putting together delicious fucking alcohol for you and I to consume. I think I've said all the stupid shit that I plan to say before contacting my friend Bob of Octus. Octus? Octas? Octus? We're going to find out. This is the part where I make some number sounds because Brian's not here to be the other end of it. So beep, boop, beep, 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 boop, and ring. Okay, and for some reason, Bob took my call. Actually, Bob called me because of technology. But anyways, with me on the phone now is Bob of Oxus. Bob, how the fuck are you this, I don't know about your end, but gray Saturday for me?
Oh, I'm doing great over here. Just it's not too gray over here in Philadelphia, but it's, you know, it's like unseasonably warm, which is kind of nice, but it's also kind of alarming sometimes for January. But I'll take it.
It's you know, there's a lot of the same here in Columbus, and I think we've had enough years in a row that we have to consider: do we really need to say it's unseasonably warm, or is this just the fucking norm now?
It just might be. I don't know. I feel like we had like maybe 1 or 2 weeks of winter, which was like, oh, this is nice, and then it's immediately over, which I don't necessarily mind.
it's always some fucking insane extreme where it was negative 10 for 3 days, and then there was snow, and now it's 50 degrees.
Yeah, they just like compact winter into those 2 days and just go nuts with it, and then it's over, which, I mean, it's not too bad. I'll take it, you know. As long as it just doesn't get to, like, you know, 5 months of, like, 100-plus degree weather or something, but we'll see.
I mean, you know, live another 3 years and we'll revisit this.
Yeah, right?
my typical way to start these conversations is because, as I kind of alluded to earlier in this thing, I love talking about what I'm listening to, and I love hearing what other people are listening to. So, Bob, what the hell are you listening to?
Oh, well, I've been listening to, typically, I guess, like, every January, I get into, like, my deep atmospheric black metal phase. I don't know, just, like, the mood strikes me. I guess it's kind of best written for that kind of season. But I've listened to a lot of Panopticon, Winter Filth, listened to some of that new, was it Drudka? I don't know if I'm saying that right.
I don't either.
But that kind of stuff, it's kind of moody, kind of, like, creepy, and it just, I don't know, whenever it's kind of cold, which was cold for a little bit, that's usually kind of my go-to winter playlist for now. And I try my best to keep up with new bands that are putting out albums and stuff and try to pay attention, but it's, you know, it's tough to keep up with when there's, like, new releases every other day.
Right.
So...
It's that your response there is mildly amusing to me because just a handful of minutes ago I said that I just finished my winter run of post metal stuff.
Nice.
Because, you know, because once the weather hits a certain, you know, once it's negative 10, it's like, okay, no, of course I'm going to listen to Call to Luna. What else would you listen to?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This stuff's great. Yeah, love me some Call to Luna.
Oh, man, it's so good. But okay. Let's talk a little bit about Oktus. And I am saying that, right? Okay. Correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, at least that's how we've been pronouncing it. So
that works for me.
I gave the
short version of what the band is earlier, but obviously you're more in tune with your band. So let's hear you explain Oktus.
Well, it's a two bass, cello, and drum band. We draw a lot of heavily influence from, I'd say, I guess, like a lot of 90s doom kind of stuff, sort of like Temper Negative, Isis, Neurosis kind of stuff. There's also a fair amount of some of that atmospheric black metal I just talked about creeps in here and there. And there's a little bit of like Gothenburg, like melodic death metal in there. And yeah, it basically stemmed from me, you know, being a bass player and just kind of always wanting to hear bands that kind of like do a dual bass player where they're doing harmonies and like chord work and doing a lot of similar, playing the bass in a similar way as like guitars would. And I just kind of was like, waiting for someone else to do it. And I was like, you know what, maybe I should just do that with my band. So that's kind of where the concept came from. And yeah, it's been fun. We've been exploring. I think it's, you know, we're trying to do something sonically different, but also keep it, you know, familiar and interesting enough for people. We don't want to get like too far out there where it's like just a little unlistenable. You know, we want to still do some like catchy riffs and some cool melodic leads. And we're fortunate enough to work with our friend Agnes, who's actually a classically trained musician who actually has like a master's degree in this kind of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is always fun because we're just, you know, we don't know anything about music theory, really. just know if it sounds good. And we're just like, oh, yeah, I think that part's in A. And she's like, guys, that's in B. And we're like, all right, yeah, sorry, I don't know. But it's always fun to, you know, see where because she fills in a lot of blanks that we don't know things about, but then also being in like a, you know, a live band, like we fill in the blanks, some of the stuff that she's not necessarily as familiar with. So it's, it's been fun for us both, you know, kind of a learning experience. It's been good.
Now that was an excellent answer that I'm equal parts not prepared for and over prepared for. So I've got questions lined up here that I'm going to call back to that response from. But other than that, I'm going to try to keep the same run of things here for now, at least. And my follow up to that first question is possibly more importantly, how do you explain your music to your grandparents?
Oh, my grandparents, I think that they think that I'm like some kind of like rock star or something just because I like play shows and stuff. But I'm just like, Graham, I am nowhere near any kind of rock star. You know, they have a lot of, you know, kind of like grand illusion about what it's like, and, you know, actually doing it and actually touring and actually doing all this stuff is a lot more work, and there's just not as much money in it anymore. And I mean, I feel like my grandparents and my parents, they support me. You know, I'm fortunate in that way where I have a lot of some very supportive family, but they don't get it. They don't get it at all. And they're just sort of like, okay, yeah, oh, you're screaming, huh? Does that hurt? yeah, sometimes if I do it too long. They've gone to my parents in previous shows. They've come out to a couple shows just to throw some support, and I'll always kind of point them out. Just be like, oh, yeah, there's my mom. She's here. Just checking in to see how I spent all that that, you know, money that they gave me for college, you know. I'm using all that.
Hi, Mom.
But yeah, you know.
So I think you kind of gave us the Cliff Notes version of this earlier, but do you want to kind of expand on the whole idea for how the band came about and how it evolved?
Yeah, sure. I mean, originally, even the first EP that we're going to be trying to like kind of re-release onto Spotify and everything, we kind of released that, I think it was like 2019. And that release, I've been in a bunch of bands for like 20 years now, so they're always fun, they're always great, but I wanted something that I had a little bit more control over. So I pretty much wrote the first original EP, and then realizing that like I don't know how to play drums or like I need someone else to help me with other bass parts, I asked two of my oldest friends, Ron McCulley and Carl Whitlock, who I've been in other previous bands with, to kind of like help bring the whole sound together and everything. And then I had this other band, it was called Cloudminder. It's kind of like a post-rock band that I did like maybe like 10 years ago. So a very good friend of mine, Jason Barron, who is a kind of like a multi-instrumentalist, he was playing like cello a lot at the time, and I kind of wanted to work with him because we're just old friends, and I was like, yeah, this is fun, I want to do something with my friends. So I kind of brought him on to add some cello parts to the original release. And then once we started thinking about trying to play shows and everything is when we were just like, hey man, we live in, you know, the other side of the country, is it cool if we start asking for someone local to help out with it?
Oh, wow.
And yeah, fortunately we had a couple friends who were just like, yo, our friend Agnes, she fucking shreds, you should go check her out, ask her if she wants to join. And we're just like, hey. I remember she was actually like a friend of my wife's, and I remember just kind of like emailing her like out of the blue, and I was just like, hey, I think you're friends with my wife, just to immediately like be like, I'm not a creep. <weirdo."> but if you're really good at cello, would you be any interested in checking out my goofy all bass band? So then it kind of expanded from there. But of course, like, yeah, we released the first EP in like 2019, and the pandemic immediately happened. And then the idea of playing that live just was like, all right, well, at least this is never going to really see the light of day. So then we just started working on the newest album, which we released in 2022, which we went on tour with, which we played with your band in Columbus with, guess last year. Yeah, and so it's been, you know, that kind of a ride ever since, and we're just going to try to, I think we're going to the one song that we were talking about, Silphra, which is kind of like the song that really kind of like made everything click, you know what I mean? Like we had a couple of the songs on that EP, which I'm really proud of, which sound great. But that song was the one where I was like, oh, I think we got something here, kind of. So we're trying to bring that one back. We're going to try to play that one live, and we'll probably re-record it and have a different version of it on the next release, which we've been chipping away at. We have a handful of ideas floating around with. And we're just trying to like hone it all down and trim the fat and then add more stupid parts and then just look, oh, that's a bad idea, and then get rid of it, you know, the writing process.
The process, right. Yeah, no, you and I were kind of talking before I pushed record about how I personally am a failure in the Octus realm because I didn't bother with listening to the previous album that was just on Bandcamp that you've mentioned you guys were working on getting re-released on Spotify. And I tell you what, man, that is, the bass tones are so fucking different there than they are on the Spotify album that I should know the name of, but I don't.
Oh, it's okay.
The thing on Bandcamp is the self-titled, right? And then on Spotify is
The Finite and the Infinite. Yeah, it's the first album. Yeah.
But yeah, man, this I can completely see why you guys want to get that to be a wider available thing, because there's a lot of really cool shit going on there, as can be heard at the very intro of this thing where. You know, I listened to a bunch of stuff from the band that we're going to be talking to and try to figure out what section of whatever song it is that we want to put at the beginning of the album, or I'm sorry, the beginning of the podcast. And with this one, it was an absolute no-brainer. That first minute is just fucking great. If that doesn't grab you and make you want to hear more, A, check your pulse. B, recheck your pulse. And C, turn the damn volume up.
Oh man, well, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, that was a fun release. And we're, you know, trying to get it back in the light of day, especially in the interim in between like albums and everything. It'd be good to, you know, try to do some of that stuff live and you know, yeah, get it back out there, because we didn't really do it any justice, because it just was, we didn't know what to do with it. We weren't sure, you know, we were ever gonna have live shows again. You know,
right,
at the time.
Right.
It was like, is it all over?
Weird fucking time.
Like, what's happening? Yeah, it was so scary. I remember just like, you know, like just spraying down the mail and stuff and coming back from work and then just having to immediately sit down and then go through the shower. It's like, we have the disease. Oh my God. And it's just, who knew, right?
Wiping down fruit from Kroger and all that shit. Yeah, no.
Oh my God. Yeah.
No, I do not miss any of that.
No, that was awful. That was not great time. So hopefully we don't go back.
If it sounds awkward here, it's because I realized that I forgot my bottle opener and I had to go get it, and now I'm sufficiently lubed and trying to get back to a conversation that was going pretty smoothly until I had to interrupt it. A relevant question, I feel like, with Octus here is, at any moment in any Octus song, especially if you include the cellist, approximately how many bass strings are in use at any one moment?
We do a lot of chord work. So we do play a lot of chords. So, I mean, we're definitely using, I mean, I play a 5-string. Carl actually uses a 6-string. So yeah, we're going through all the, you know, strumming up big power chords and everything. And even for the, like last album, I think we had maybe like 4 like bass tracks each. I think we were doing rhythm tracks and lead tracks, and yeah, it's kind of a nightmare to mix. Because it is kind of like, I mean, it's such a different thing where, you know, the bass is sort of like taking over the role of the guitar, but then also still trying to be the bass. And
a la Type of Negative.
And it's been a bit of a challenge in itself, which is kind of the fun part about it too, where we're just sort of like, you know, because when we recorded the last album, like it was just, it was just funny how like we had to like put on the bass boost on every speaker that we had, because we're just like, where is the bass? And it's just like, oh, we got to crank that shit up. But it's definitely makes it a bit challenging, especially when, you know, it's kind of like, because we try to treat the bass like a guitar, because it is essentially doing all the guitar work. And you know, there's a lot of like kind of set, you know, if you have a 2-guitar band, it's already kind of like, you kind of already know what to do. It's already been like set in stone for decades now.
Right.
With this project, it's just kind of like, all right, well, the bass is usually in the middle, but we kind of got to push it out to the side a little bit, and then bass is doing a lead now and stuff. Okay, so we're gonna have to try to figure out where to put that. But like I said, yeah, that's like half the fun. It's just like figuring out how to make it sound good and still like, you know, be true to like bass, because I don't want it to be like a, you know, like, oh, the bass is just doing guitar stuff. It's like, no, the bass is still doing bass stuff.
Right.
You know, don't abandon that. But you know. So it's fun, but yeah, there's a lot going on. We had like we're just going nuts with multiple amps. I don't know. Whenever I get into the studio, that's kind of like the fun time. Just like playing through all the heads and just trying to, you know, make, you know, cool sounds and everything. So we definitely went a little nuts and had to dial a lot back.
You kind of mentioned peripherally there just a minute ago that where your band and our band, Insidience, is our band. And again, mm-hmm. the actual good band here is Octus. Played a show together a while back, and I can certainly confirm that you guys have no shortage of amps and heads to fucking play through, because I think we just finished loading you guys back up, and that show was a year ago.
Yeah, man, it was it's a blessing and a curse.
The good thing is that it certainly got the job done, because you guys were loud as fuck and it sounded great.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks, man. Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, we're trying to do it. We're a bunch of gearheads, too, you know, and we're, like, always spending money on amps and stuff and just trying to see what sounds good. And, you know, it's a big part of the fun, too. We enjoy bringing the wall, but our backs necessarily don't, especially since, like, our practice space is on, like, the second floor of a warehouse in, like, the Port Richmond area of, like, Philadelphia. It's almost like, it's like it makes me want to not like do shows as much. I'm just like, guys, it's just so much work just getting there. I don't know. I'm not back and taking it anymore. I'm in my early 40s. I don't know.
Right.
But you know, it's worth it for the sound and for the appeal. So, and you know, we always have fun. And then we bring it into a show, and then the sound person's always just like, "What the fuck is this?" We're just like, "Well, you know, I just play rhythm bass, and this is lead bass, and then we have a cellist, so got to make sure she sounds good."
Right.
Is, you know, I'm sure it's a nightmare.
How long did it take you guys to figure out how to, like, recording is its own thing, because, you know, you've got a bit more time, and it's not exactly there aren't time constraints necessarily. But how long did it take you guys to sort out getting the cellist set up and mixed right in a live setting through the thousands of amps that you guys bring to every show and all that stuff?
Oh, it's definitely a challenge. Agnes definitely, she uses a, she has like a pickup for her cello, so she can plug it into an amp, which helps out. I mean, it's at least like helps her, like, so she can hear herself and kind of works as like a monitor. But yeah, we almost always need to go through the PA and just be like, look, if you can't hear, just like crank her up as much as you can. But
almost treat it like vocals, right?
Essentially, yeah. Yeah, we got to like tell everyone, like, yo, it's going to be loud. Just, she's got to be soaring over top of it. Otherwise, it's, you know, not going to be worth it. But
right.
Yeah, definitely its own challenge, especially since it's an acoustic instrument and she has sort of like a ceiling of like volume she can get
right,
to. And then she'll start like feeding back like crazy. So it's definitely a balance where, you know, sky's the limit for her. You know, us and the amps, but you know, we gotta have to, you know, be considerate of her as well, just to make sure that, you know, just the whole package, you know, everything has to be audible. So that's definitely, yeah, the live aspect of it has been our own challenge. We got like voltage meters and stuff, and we're trying to be smart about it, but you know, yeah, it's definitely its own challenge.
Yeah, I can imagine it's such an integral part of the sound, but you know, again, it's an acoustic stringed instrument that you're trying to put that fucking high up into things. On one hand, I envy you guys for the originality of it, but on the other hand, I don't envy you guys on having to sort that out every night, let alone her trying to. Good for you guys and her, I guess, is what I'm getting around to saying, because you're better people than me for sorting it out and doing the better music.
Yeah, we certainly didn't pick an easy road either with the mixing or the bringing of all the crap to every show. we certainly don't make it easy on ourselves.
Well, I mean, fun stuff. The sentence I was going to say there is fun stuff isn't usually easy, but that's not right, is it? Because I guess fun stuff can go either way. Yeah,
it can be.
Off of that awful fucking segue, I'm going to say that in some of my research, quote unquote, there for this show, I found myself on Metal Archives, and I clicked. There's a little, you guys are on there, and there's a little tab slated as related artists, and I clicked on it thinking, what the fuck is going to be here? And you know what was there?
No,
absolutely nothing.
Oh, really?
It said no similar artist has been recommended yet.
Huh. So okay, well, I mean,
I don't know if that's a question so much as a commendation, and that, you know, just fucking good job for blazing your own damn path.
I mean, it's kind of what we were, going for in a way. You know, we definitely wanted to be something different, something unique, but, you know, also familiar enough. I think we got a lot of similar influences that people would recognize, I think, when they hear it. But, yeah, that's kind of what we're going for. I mean, I just wanted that big, fat bass sound. And, not to rag on any guitars. My wife is a guitarist, and she plays in a couple bands. And she's just like, you know what? Any other guy would be proud to be with a sexy guitarist like me, but you're a guitarist racist. I'm like, what? No, I'm not. I love guitar. You know, like, clearly all of our music is, like, influenced by guitar heavy music.
Right.
But it's just sort of like striving for that, you know, like kind of like that different kind of vibe.
Sure.
I mean, you know, I love metal. I love music. I love it so much. But there's a lot of shit out there that is just the same thing over and over and over again.
Right.
And I don't hate it. You know, it's not like it's done poorly. A lot of times it's executed well. A lot of times it's just, I don't know, I already got this album. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's kind of like my own personal, just be like, I'm always looking for just something different. Maybe it's because I am a little bit older now and maybe a bit more jaded and I've, you know, heard enough stuff. I'm just kind of like, this just sounds like that other band, but I guess that's kind of their shtick.
Right.
So it's always like been kind of like the goal. And, you know, I'm always trying to find something new and different and interesting within the metal world, because that's what makes it exciting. You know?
Right.
The metal has like no rules. They've already accepted that nobody's gonna ever make any money doing this kind of shit. So they're just like, might as well go buck wild and just get nuts with it.
Just
so,
do something fucking weird.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just what we're going for ourselves. So I'll kind of take that no similar artist thing as like a badge of pride. It's like, yeah, that's right. We're unique and weird.
You're goddamn right. Yeah, no, man. I totally agree with most of your sentiment there, and that, like, I find myself, it's so weird. You're basically the same age as I am, and in our time, we've gone through having to buy CDs without hearing any damn thing except for the fucking single, to having everything at your fucking fingertips all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's both beneficial and a detriment in that, it's so easy to just kind of fall back into the things you've heard 1,000 times before and you know you like.
True.
But you can turn on any damn random thing. I don't know. I guess I should only speak for myself here, in that I do my damnedest to give a lot of weird stuff a try, a lot of stuff I haven't heard a try, but it's easy for me to... It's equal parts easy for me to get lost in something that I've never fucking heard before, and also be quick to turn away from it, thinking, no, I'm not in the mood for this. This isn't working for me. I'm going to turn on volume 4 for the 900th fucking time today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm definitely in the same mode, where I think it's a lot of like the way you're at in the day, too. I think there's a lot of times where I'm just like, where I'm just wanting to hear something like, all right, what just came out? And I'll just like, you know, check and see whatever anybody's like suggesting. And I'll like give it a couple tries, you know. But then there's days where I'm just like, you know, I just want to listen to the same thing that I've been listening to for the past decade,
right?
You know, just right now, because this is what I want to hear. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's like a comfort zone kind of thing. But I think there's also, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, just trying to discover something new. Because, I mean, a lot of, if I'm being honest, like the vast majority of a lot of new stuff that comes out, I'm like, rarely is it like a hatred thing, but it's just more of like an indifferent thing. I'm just like,
yeah.
It's not bad, but it's just like, it's not like great either. It's not like blowing my mind or anything. And that's when you're looking for something to blow your mind, you know, it's just kind of, the bar is just set that much higher.
Right. So, and when so much stuff is available, so consistent, like I always see, not always, but I've seen multiple articles about how 90-some% of artists on Spotify are less than 1,000 listens. And it's like, yeah, right. Because any damn body can put what the hell ever they want on there. There's a glut. And I'm not arguing against it, obviously. Like, at this point, I don't know. Like, we all know that our devices and everything are listening to us, and this is something that I shouldn't say out loud, but for my wallet's sake, but for people like you's sake, I should say out loud. And that Spotify could charge me so fucking much more, and they would not lose me. I completely depend on this service at this point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm the same way. You know, I definitely have the Spotify Prime, and it's like 10 bucks a month. And, you know, I feel, you know, it's I think we got spoiled with radio as well, because we just got kind of used to getting, like, kind of free content for a long time.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I do my best to try to, like, if there's a band that I really like, I try to buy a T-shirt or something.
I'm actually wearing my Octus T-shirt right now.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah, man. Love it. Yeah, that's what I feel like that's kind of what is a lot of bands have turned into, is just sort of like, well, we're just T-shirt salesmen now, you know?
That's, like, yeah, yep.
Whenever I go to a show, I'm just like, yo, man, you're here to play death metal and sell T-shirts. Just do it, you know? Just don't worry about how many people are here. Just try to get somebody bought some stuff. Just try to get money in that gas tank.
Man, I had just taken a big-ass drink of this fucking beer when you said that, and I damn near lost it all over a bunch of electronics.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's see here. Where can we pick back up from here? You know what? This is an interesting conversation for me. Bass influences. You started talking about some of these things in a loose way earlier here. Let's go through what has got you to your five string and your chords and all these things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm definitely a big tempo negative. Peter Steele was a big influence on me. I liked how he played and how this is like self-deprecating sense of humor, I guess.
Sure.
Sort of like endeared me to him. A lot where, I would just remember, like, Halloween, like, shows in, like, Philadelphia, I think in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s or show. Like, Tempo Negative played, like, three in a row. And to this day, I was, like, a teenager. To this day, they're still some of the most fun shows I've ever been
to. Absolutely, man.
Yeah, he was just, you know, it was such a, he had such a unique sound and the way he played, which I really enjoyed. So he's definitely one. I remember when I was, like, even when I was younger and trying to first get into playing bands and playing music, you know, everyone wanted to play guitar, be the vocalist or some shit and everything. So I'll never forget watching the Cliff Them All, like VHS, like the Metallica, like best of, like Cliff Burton's
right.
Footage from like, before the Master Puppet Store. And I just remember getting that at a very impressionable age and just like watching this dude play and shit. And I was like, holy fuck, I want to be like that guy.
Right. You know,
all the different versions of them playing Anesthesia and stuff and everything. It's just like, holy shit, look at this guy. He's nuts. His head on a wobble stick and that mop just fucking like windmilling while he's just shredding bass leads. It was awesome. So those two were definitely the ones that like, you know, made the instrument for me anyway.
Yeah,
really.
I can't. The you know, Cliff and Pete's crazy underrated for what the hell he did, and Cliff is obviously Cliff. Cliff is definitely not underrated, and for all the right fucking reasons. But similar to what you kind of were mentioning there were shows there in the 90s. Some of the best shows I've ever been to was one of the best shows I've ever been to was when. Typo was touring for October Rust with Cold Chamber and somebody else back in the obviously mid to late 90s, and I saw them at a venue that holds a couple thousand people, and it was just mind fucking blowing how great they were.
I think I might have saw them on that tour as well. I feel like Tempo Negative played with a lot of like meh, like new metal bands. I feel like I saw Cold Chamber like a dozen times,
right?
I'm not even a fan of them. But they were just on like a bunch of bills with a bunch of bands that I liked. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm seeing Cold Chamber again.
Yeah. At the end of that show, that was the one where they pulled out a couple boxes of fucking toilet paper and started chucking them into the crowd. My and my friends and I were dead center on the balcony at this show. And I turned around to say something to my buddy to my right and turned back to face toward the stage and took a fucking roll of toilet paper right in the nose, man. It was great.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
It's so ridiculous. I actually, this is completely literal, I'm looking at it as I say this, I got a Tempo Negative koozie in the mail just yesterday.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, there's, yeah, I remember like at those Halloween shows in Philly, they also brought out like, yeah, like a pallet of fucking toilet paper,
right?
And just like covered the entire spot. The place that they played in Philly was the spot called the Trocadero.
Yes.
Which
I've seen some of the flyers from those shows.
Oh yeah, it was a great venue. It used to be like a burlesque venue in like that late 1800s. So I mean, it's just where it has this very old school, like, ornate theater. I think it's been closed down for a while just because of renovations, the ceiling's falling in or some shit. I don't know. Probably needs a lot of work. But, yeah, they just cover that place with toilet paper. I was not jealous of the janitor who had to clean all that up. It was a fucking mess in there.
Right.
But, yeah, but it was just this, yeah, they had such, like, I also remember being at those shows and having to chant, "You suck," in order to get them to do an encore, which is always so much fun. But you suck, you suck. I'm like, shut up. All right. I guess we'll play a couple more. I'm like, yeah.
Right.
It's
so ridiculous. Like the typo shows where you're chanting "you suck" or Primus shows where you're chanting "Primus sucks." It's like,
yeah,
you know, this is what you do, but I absolutely fucking adore you guys and you don't suck, but this is whatever. We're just doing it.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's definitely that like just self-deprecating sense of humor, which I don't know. It was always just like, they were so good at being like, but their music was always so serious and so dramatic and stuff. But then the presentation,
it's so romantic.
Yeah, absolutely. But then the presentation is always just so kind of goofy and just sort of like, yeah, this is what we do, whatever. There's definitely, like, I guess some of that I try to take over from that, where, you know, for Octus, where, you know, we certainly take the music that we make very seriously and we want to produce, like, the most interesting stuff we can. But when we're playing it live, it's just like, we're just here to have fun. We're just trying to,
sure,
you know, enjoy ourselves. And,
right.
You know, we want to put on a good show and maybe interact with the crowd, maybe get them laughing or enjoying themselves, God forbid, you know.
Right. No. Yeah. Hell forbid that you have fun while doing something that can be conceived as serious. It's possible, people.
Absolutely.
If you hold goofiness in your heart every day, you can have it every day.
Yeah. You gotta laugh, man. You gotta laugh. It's the only thing that'll get us all through.
Hey, fucking man. So to get us back to Octus, there's a constant kind of word salad description that I see for you guys where it's epic post-metal symphonic doom. Is there a better way to phrase that, or are you good with that?
I've always been trying to find that out myself. We were thinking of atmospheric doom. We were thinking like just something a little bit more simpler. Yeah, I guess that's kind of like the, you know, like our one of our struggles is trying to have to just sort of like, well, what is it, you know? And we do draw in a lot of different influences that kind of like blend a couple genres together. So it's always been a challenge to like kind of just be like, all right, well, we do this and we do this, but we also do that. And it's kind of been a thing because we never were like a straight up kind of any specific genre kind of band. We definitely have a lot of influences, a lot of like early 90s. There's definitely a lot of like Opeth and like Gothenburg Mod, Death Metal in there. But there's also some atmospheric stuff that creeps its way in. So yeah, we're taking suggestions. If anyone has any opinions about it, or just like, you know what, you actually sound like, all right, let's try it, you know. Totally open to it. Totally down, because I don't know, we always just try to write the music that's you know, true and honest to ourselves and what we're trying to do, as opposed to necessarily fit in a specific, you know, little box, you know, of what we're trying to do. So, you know, therein lies the challenge. It'd be a lot easier if we just sort of went for a straight, you know, straight down the road, like, hey,
right,
this is us, people.
We're thrash.
Yeah, exactly. Like, these are the parameters in which we write our songs, which I can see how, for marketing purposes, it's certainly a lot easier, because then you could just be like, all right, well, this is the crowd that's, you know, that's gonna like
you,
right, because you're exactly like this. But I don't know, I just it's tough to narrow down the influences to just like a couple specific, therefore making it a little bit more tough to like narrow down like the specific kind of genre that I guess we fit most comfortably in. I feel like doom is the closest one that we're just sort of like, yeah, we definitely have like the slower, heavier kind of aspects of it down. So it's always, we're definitely in the doom category, but yeah, the epic sweeping symphonic, like, I don't know, we're still looking.
I think my end of this is that I would argue that you guys are, I think you guys own the definition of doom. There's because of the elements that you have and the way that the songs are put together and the way that they progress and all these things, I think, for me, you guys have kind of redefined that, and like all these other things are stoner doom or sludge doom or fucking, jazz doom or something. I hate the qualifiers so damn much. But I think that you guys have kind of, to some degree, redefined and owned that damn term.
Oh, well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, we're trying to, because there's a lot, yeah, as you were just saying, there's a lot of different, like, doom within doom, you know, that I feel like people associate doom with either, like, yeah, like Black Sabbath worshiping stoner rock, which I got nothing but love for.
Sure.
And there's certainly some Black Sabbath sounding riffs. We definitely get some bluesy sides to us here and there. But then there's also, I think, people associate doom with, like, sludge, where you're just, like, you know, hitting, like, a note every, like, 5 minutes or something. And it's just, like, slow as shit, and you're just sort of like, is this the same song? What's happening right now? So, there's a wide range, just, you know, subgenres within subgenres of doom. Which,
and it drives me nuts.
It can be tough. It's daunting to keep up with.
It's something that, this is a tangent that I shouldn't let myself get into, but there's nobody here to regulate me, so I guess I'm going to say things.
There you go.
it's one of those things where I think simple is better. We can just fully encompass a bunch of things in doom. I for the longest time, I pushed back against sludge being its own damn thing, but I finally accepted that, and fine. Let's call this sludge. Let's call this doom. Let's call this metal. Yeah. Let's call this fucking thrash. There really shouldn't be 75 more variations of this.
It's all, yeah, especially when it's just sort of like, you know, one riff in one song, kind of like what makes you that. And, like, I don't know, do you have any other riffs in that song other than that one song, you know, or that one riff, you know? And it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of limiting. Like, I get how people want to, I don't know, I guess it makes it easier to parse through, you know, like Spotify searches or something, but I don't know.
You know what? Limiting is a good fucking phrase there. Especially these days with Spotify and with all the bands that are readily available who are consistently trying to do different things from track to track, it makes all this stuff so much less fucking relevant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I remember the days, you know, I definitely was a kid of the 90s and grew up with, like, Metallica albums and stuff. And, you know, all of their albums, you go back to, you know, all of the good ones anyway, from the 80s, you know, they had different kind of songs, every different kind. They had, like, the ballad, they had the slow chugger, they had, like, the you know, epic instrumental, the, you know, the thrashier fast songs, you know. And it's that kind of essence that I kind of like to have with Octus, where I don't want it to be, because there's a ton of bands out there that just kind of stay the same kind of, like, tempo and the same kind of pace throughout the whole album, and that's just
right,
it gets kind of boring after a while. I like it when it's, like, you know, more dynamic, you know, where it gets a little faster, gets a little slower, gets a little louder, gets a little quiet, you know, and just sort of, like, keeps it interesting, as opposed to just, like, this static, like, same kind of, like,
verse, chorus, verse, like, chorus, breakdown, verse, chorus, out.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, just kind of keep it, you know, just ahead of the game, you know, just don't, you know, just try not to get it, let it be boring, you know, always try and keep it interesting.
Sure. So. And that's what makes it fucking fun for me to hear. I guess I can't speak to the larger population, but that's a big reason as to why I wanted to have this conversation with you right now. And kind of in relation to that, and if we're talking about how, you know, songs individually are put together, and the post-metal or doom or sludge or verse, chorus, verse, chorus, breakdown, whatever, in the room when you guys are writing stuff, how does that work out? How do you decide? How often are you doing something that is, especially with a cello in there, how often is it a struggle for you to decide if vocals should even be a part of it?
I mean, it definitely, there's a handful of different approaches that I feel like we take whenever we're writing, because there's definitely sort of, like, we do have oftentimes have like a verse, chorus, verse kind of structure to some of our songs. Some of our songs are more linear, where they just kind of go and never necessarily repeat parts, or they might repeat one or two, like, throughout it. A lot of times, ever since, because we're I guess a little bit more of, like, a long format songwriting, like, all of our songs around, like, 8 or 9 minutes or I tend to think of them a lot as almost, like, you know, second, like, first, second, and third acts, like you would have, like, a movie.
Sure.
Per se.
More like a, you know, movement where, than a song.
Exactly, yeah, where, you know, we'll have, like, the first act or the first movement, and it'll probably be maybe a little bit more like verse, chorus, verse, more like kind of typical song structurally. Then we'll have like the second movement or so, where it'll kind of go off in a different direction. Maybe there's a key change, tempo change. Maybe it's just sort of like a quiet part that kind of builds on itself. And then there'll be like sort of like a third act or a third movement, where it'll either kind of, encompass elements of the first and second act, or just be it's completely third different, like completely different thing all of its own, just like a long epic outro. And it's blending it in that different kind of ways. And, you know, we each have our own kind of creative say. Like, I'll bring maybe a riff and a couple of things, or like some lyrical ideas that I wanted to bring. And then, you know, everyone else will have their own kind of like thoughts on where they want it to go. And it's very like the first EP was pretty much like I just kind of wrote it and like brought it to them, whereas it's a lot more communal this time around. And Agnes has been like contributing a lot and writing a lot, which has been fun, because she's, being a classically trained musician, you're kind of used to just like playing other people's shit, you know what I mean?
Right.
Just like, what do you want me to play? And I was like, oh, anything you want. She's like, oh yeah, right, I gotta write all this, I gotta fill 9 minutes of music, like, yeah. Just play anything will sound good. That's the beauty of her. It's just like, yeah, just play something, it'll sound good as long as it's in K. It'll sound cool because it's a cello.
No, for sure. It's I kind of wanted to make the final turn into the last handful of questions here, but
okay.
Because you hammered that nail there with Agnes, I do want to dive just a couple minutes a little bit more into that.
Sure.
Into the writing process with a cello, as opposed to, you know, clearly the norm is two guitarists, a bass, a drummer, a singer. Mm-hmm. Whereas you guys are, again, two bassists, a cellist, and a drummer and a vocalist.
Right.
How does that end up working? You've mentioned her being classically trained, and you've mentioned filling in studio wise mm-hmm. versus live wise and all these things. What other ins and outs and fun things are there?
I mean, in a lot of ways, she kind of has more sort of like almost like a lead guitar kind of role in a lot of ways, where a lot of her stuff is just kind of like, you know, is kind of like accents everything that's already kind of going on. And it's only really like the clean parts. Whenever we get quiet, she knows like almost exactly what to do. It's like, oh, I know what to do here, and just kind of spinning stores. You know, it's like more during some of like the heavier parts, but she's just like, I'm not sure what to do over this. And you know, we'll bounce ideas back and forth, and you know, it's always like a, you know, constructive kind of like, hey, you can do this, you can do that, and then you know, of course, she'll just like rip something out, and it's like, that's perfect. Was I recording that? Don't forget that. So yeah, it's a lot of just time in the practice room, just jamming on stuff and trying apart like 1,000 different ways, you know. And if it's like, you know, a lot of times it's just sort of like, let's just keep it simple. And then, you know, as we repeat it throughout the song, maybe we'll like, you know, try to complicate it up or add something different rhythmically, or, you know, put a lead on it or something, and, you know, just have it evolve just over time. That's usually a lot how I like to approach it, where it's like the first time around, if we're repeating the part specifically, you know, we'll just kind of keep it like pretty simple, bare bones, but as we repeat it, you know, we'll add different elements to it, or just change it up, or add different kind of rhythmic elements to it, just to keep it fresh, so it's not just the same thing over and over again. Yeah, but it's been fun, you know. It's it's a lot of just like jamming, just like, all right, let's just drill this part for like an hour, see what we get.
So right.
And then I usually have a field recorder, and I'll like go through the recordings, and I'll just be like, this part was awesome, and I'll just put like little clips on the internet, and we'll all listen to it, and you know, see what we feel about it, and, you know, point it out the next practice. Like, oh, like when you did this, this was really cool. And, you know, just piece it all together from there.
You guys, with all that stuff, you know, there's the, if you want to be a music nerd, which I'm kind of trying to restrain myself from being here, there's so many interesting things there when you're putting things together from the, I guess I should parse this into a music nerd plus a bass player, and then, you know, talking to you guys about your extremely bass heavy setup plus the drums. And that's all crazy fucking interesting to me. And it translates live, because there's no real focal point where you're doing the rhythm type things with your crazy ass 5-string bass. And then you've got some version of a lead bass type thing and the cello. And completely unmentioned up to this point is your drummer, who is no fucking slouch.
Oh yeah.
Who is just absolutely crushing shit. There's never like, even with the vocals, there's never like a, it's never simple to just focus on some part of the band, and that's what makes the word band so fucking great for it. It's such a fun fucking experience.
Oh well, thank you, man. I'm glad you appreciate it. And yeah, I mean, I feel very fortunate to be able to work with the people that I work with this project. And yeah, when I approached Ron for it, I was just like, hey man, I just want you to do what you do. And yeah, he definitely like fills in a lot of empty spaces there. He just loves hitting stuff.
Oh,
as
man.
Much as possible.
He
so, yeah, he's a beast.
that is for sure. So let's do the round robin thing here, because we haven't given everybody the actual name cred here. We've got Agnes, mm-hmm. we've got Bob, we've got on drums,
Ron McCauley,
and then on forgive me if I've fucked this up, but I'm pretty sure on lead bass.
Yeah, well, there's Carl Whitlock.
Okay.
Who we kind of go back and forth between doing like leads. He does a lot
right.
more.
No,
like,
that was
kind of lead part.
I'm actually going to blame you for this, because you said lead and rhythm earlier, because I kind of thought you guys is interchangeable to start with.
We both do like our own kind of like, he has a lot more sort of like, he takes over a lot of like the quiet parts, a lot of like more of like the arpeggio. Strumming parts. He writes a lot of that for us, whereas I tend to do, if it's like an electric lead, that tends to be something that I usually write. We go back and forth with stuff and everything. That's also adds to the challenge when we bring it into
sure,
the studio.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, well, who's the rhythm guy? And it's like, well, we both are. It's like, all right, well, who's doing the lead? Oh, well, sometimes we both are.
We're lead rhythm.
Yeah.
There's two more things I want to hit here before we go into the just stupidity to end this damn thing.
Okay.
One of them being the I'll tell you what, before we go, we'll parlay that into this. So the artwork for these things, if I understand yeah. things right, you're doing the artwork.
Yes, I paint all the like landscapes, album covers. Yeah, I went to school for illustration like 20 years ago, and I've been painting my whole life, and I still really enjoy doing it. I don't have as much time as I'd like to in order to dedicate to it, but every time I can, I'm down in my basement just kind of pushing some paint around.
What are the inspirations and the thought processes there?
A lot of it, I guess, is coming from a lot of times when I, you know, go on trips with like my wife and stuff. We tend to do a lot of sort of like nature-oriented stuff, I guess, because we live in the city. So every time we have an opportunity to get out in the nature, we're just like, oh yeah, let's get out of here. And a lot of them stem from, yeah, just like going out either A, into like the Pocono areas around Philly, but we've also done some great like trips over to like Iceland and Norway.
Wow.
And just really, yeah, just really getting out into, you know, seeing, you know, I'm just a sucker for landscapes and stuff. And whenever we get out and we travel and stuff, a lot of times we come back and I'm just like, oh, I just got to paint. I just got to get this image down that I just saw out there and I just got to do it. So definitely a lot of, you know, yeah, a lot of travel inspired stuff, and that comes. So, you know,
how hard is it to translate an actual painting to the digital medium?
I mean, it can be tough, because it's just a lot of times they don't really coincide, but it'll usually be like a concept or something that I have in my head, and I'll try to A, illustrate it through some of my artwork, and then B, I'll try to like express it like lyrically through one of the songs. And then you know, there's a lot of, you know, just different concepts and ideas that always flow around. They just kind of find their ways out into the different, you know, medias and forms that I like to express myself in. So there's a lot of flowing in between, I would say.
Do you have art available anywhere that isn't an Octus album?
Oh sure, yeah, I have a website. And I have an Instagram that I have a lot of my paintings on, which I don't update nearly enough, but it's just kind of like an online, portfolio that I use. And that's my, Bob Stokes Art on Instagram. And then I have a website, which I think is, Robert Burn Stokes Art.com. I have to look it up. I'm bad at plugging my own shit. But that is a lot of my paintings. And I've been dabbling back into doing a little bit more illustrative stuff, and been working on this new can design for this brewery that I work with. And you know, that's been a real treat in order to get some of my stuff onto to a beer can for people to enjoy. So just trying to find different avenues in which I can, you know, get my stuff out there a little bit more. So it's been fun.
It sounds like it, and I'll be damned if that didn't end up being the perfect fucking parlay, and that I wanted to go from there talking about your art, which is absolutely fucking cool, and you should sort out how to better recommend people places to see it. I will certainly try to find your Instagram and publish that there with the socials and stuff. Into that, the beer that you're brewing for Decibels Metal and Beer Fest, I assume you're doing the art for that, and how all these things came about.
Well, I've been working at Yards Brewing Company for about 10 years now, and I've been brewing there for about 3 or 4 years or so. I did everything there. I was like in the warehouse, I was in the packaging department and stuff. So I've been in the brew house for a while now, and they have the Decibel Metal and Beer Fest every year at in Philadelphia. So we've always kind of participated with that, and we just do a lot of our more core brands, and I was just up my boss's asses about trying to get some of my own ideas on there, because I'm a member of the metal community around here. And so we worked on getting ourselves together. I did this painting late last year called Crown of Mountains, where it just has like this, I think it is available, I think it's on my Instagram, both my personal one and my art one. And it was just a painting that was available, and I was like, hey guys, you just want to use this, and we'll do something fun, do an interesting beer with it. And they've been very accommodating and very supportive of that, which I definitely appreciate. And it's going to be sort of a New England IPA. I'm not sure if you're a fan of those kind of beers.
I'll tell you what, this could be a fun, we could have a recurring segment where you make fun of people for their beer taste here. This is lean into it is my suggestion. I'm standing here next to my microphone. Here is a table that has like Labatt Blue Light is my base.
Okay.
I start with those. I feel like those are a good light beer, and I have a Labatt Blue Light, and then I have a Mexican Lager, and then I have a Labatt Blue Light, and then I have something weird. In this case, something weird was a. Oh man, I've never had to say this out loud. Weinenstaffer? Pilsner?
A Weinstaffer? Okay.
Oh yeah, that's for sure how you say it.
Yeah.
In my bag here next to me, the next beer I'm currently sucking on an LBL, as I call them lovingly.
Oh yeah.
my next beer is going to be an Ithaca Apricot Wheat.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, they're tasty. But all that to say, I can't do the IPAs. I can do some of the hazy IPAs. I can do some of the lighter type things. Partly because with the way I drink, something that's 8% ABV is going to...
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to end well for me.
Yeah, they're not. They're definitely not something you can have all the time. No. Like all day, you're just like, ooh,
right.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
But... you know, I don't want to, I don't know if I'm being beer snob or if I'm not being beer snob or if I'm being beer lame or if I'm, that circling back to, I want to funnel beer opinions through Bob. How am I doing over here?
I think you're doing great, man. I think it's good to have like a nice variety. I don't think there's such a thing as a bad taste in beer. You just like what you like. I mean, there's a bunch of like light lagers that I enjoy, especially like in the middle of summer. It's like hot as fuck outside. I get an ice cold light lager, I'm all about it. You know what I mean?
Amen.
But yeah, I think it's also good to expand your horizons too, because there's a lot of I have a lot of friends and family members that are big fans of like lighter lagers. You know, they like the macro beers, your like Budweisers and Miller Lights and stuff. Nothing wrong with those either. But there's also a lot of great, like light German lagers out there, you know, that local breweries might be making. You can get like you got a Pilsner there, which those are great. You know, you got Helles's, Kolsch's. There's lots of different styles out there. And it's, I think as long as you're, you know, trying different stuff. You got a week there. I think that's great. You know, I think as long as you're trying different stuff, so there's a lot of great beers out there. A lot of great, you know, small breweries out there doing good stuff. And, you know, that's all I would say is just, you know, we've never in America have had more options.
Amen.
For a locally brewed beer than we do right now. And it's just, I don't know, I think it's a blessing. I think we're doing some really good, interesting beer out there. And yeah, all I would say is just, you know, try some different stuff. Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's great. I mean, I'm in the same boat, like with the, I do love me a good New England IPA here and there, like a fruity, juicy one. But I've also had some bad ones.
Sure, you know? Yeah. They can't all be zingers.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times it's because they don't really like filter them. And not that there's anything, you can definitely, there's a lot of, when you're like filtering beer, you can strip a little bit of like the hop oils and some of the flavor and aromas can get lost in it. But then also sometimes you're getting some of the yeast in there and you shouldn't be drinking that stuff. You know what I mean? Like you filter it for a reason. get your stomach all bubbly.
No, and you don't want that. There's many other reasons to have your stomach bubbly and beer shouldn't be one of them.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
While I may actually call on you for a recurring Bob Rates Your Beer segment. Let's tell us about the beer that you're brewing for Decibels Metal and Beer Fest, when that is, where that can be found, all those things, because that's a fucking cool thing to be involved with.
Oh yeah, well, thanks, man. I mean, yeah, I'm excited to be working with Decibel along with this as well. They've been very supportive. They've always like done a lot of cool stuff, and yeah, so it's exciting for me. And I believe the Decibel Fest, I believe that's like April 14th or something. Let me just look up online real quick. But they do it every year, and I think they do it in Denver as well. But and the kind of beer that we're going for is a like a habanero mango New England IPA.
Mm.
So I've been looking forward to trying. Yeah, I've been trying to do a pepper beer for a while. I've never really done one myself, so it's just kind of exciting to try. So I'm looking forward to how it's coming out. We've got a couple test batches already in the we have a one barrel system there where it's kind of like at a little place that we have, like Jars is like a 100 barrel brew house, so we have like some big like large scale beers that we do, but we also have a little one barrel system that kind of looks like a toy compared to the other one.
Yeah,
but it's great for just like messing around with recipes and trying stuff and just getting some interesting ingredients in and everything. So we got one on there, and it's tasting pretty good. I think I'm going to try another version or two before we get the final thing going. But, that's going to be for the Decibel Metal and Beer Fest. I believe it's April 12th, the 13th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, so that should be fun. And it's going to be called Crown of Mountains IPA. It's got a lot of, like, Citra Mosaic hops in there, which I believe are kind of like the holy grail of hops nowadays. Are just sort of like, you know, you can't go wrong if you're using those in your beer. Some like some mango puree in there, some habaneros, and it's been interesting, man. It's been fun.
I love me some spicy stuff, and I believe it or not, I love me some beer too. And
nice.
Trying to combine the two is always an interesting thing. I've tried a handful of habanero or some other version of allegedly spicy beer things that are always, I don't know if always is the word here, but are usually mixed with some kind of fruit type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the results are for sure varied. So, sometimes it feels like I took a drink of, you know, some kind of wheat fruity thing and then immediately chased it with a handful of pepper. And sometimes it tastes the way I'm sure the way somebody intended on it to taste, and it's delicious. Mm.
I mean, yeah, that's the struggle with these beers, and you know, and that's been kind of the fun process of it. Yeah, we certainly don't want to make something that's undrinkable. You know what I mean? We're definitely aiming for the fences here with it. But the test batch we've had so far has been very tasty, very fruity. Like it's there, like the heat's there, but it's not like overwhelming. You know, I think that's the I think that's the key thing, where it's just sort of like, it's got to be there, just sort of like, just at the very end, very tip of, as soon as you swallow it, you're just like, ooh, there's a little bit of heat.
Yeah, there's a little bit of something.
Yeah, just to compliment it, you know what I mean? Not to overwhelm anyone, but just to like sort of accent the flavors that are already happening. So that's our goal, and I think we're already kind of got it, and I'm a little excited to get it out there.
I mean, should the phase align and I find myself in Philly in early April, I will certainly be looking for that to put it in my belly, because it sounds delicious.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
other than that, Bob, this has been a lot of fun and a solid fucking conversation. You guys, you know, the whole point in this stupid ass fucking podcast is to talk to bands that I'm interested in talking to. And if anybody is a returning listener, they know that I'm a bass player and you know that I'm a bass player. And so there's obvious connections here, but also, you know, you combine the post-metal doomy stuff, and this has been a lot of fun for me is what I'm saying. And it's been a super interesting conversation between artwork and bass stuff and just the way you guys put your stuff together and, you know, let alone fucking beer. So since we've had an interesting conversation so far, I'm going to take another drink. I'm now onto the apricot wheat here. I'm going to take a drink of it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, man, it's been a pleasure for me as well, dude. This has been very enjoyable. This is a good time.
Well, I'm going to ruin that now, and we're going to go out on some stupidity here. We're going to end this with just the way that we've done these things all the times before. Because I think it's stupid and fun and I enjoy it. I've got a couple mental edits here that I'm going to try to do on the fly. So if it sounds dumber than usual, whatever, deal with it. We'll start with some rapid fire type things here.
Okay.
And if you're ready, I will start.
Okay, go ahead.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
That's the right answer.
Nice.
What is something you could eat for a week straight?
Ooh, pizza.
Good call. Beatles or Stones?
Nice. What was that?
Beatles or Stones?
I think I might have to go with Beatles.
All right. I'll let you live. I'll let you live.
50-50 shot of that one.
Now, right. That's solid math. The way this is written is Simpsons or Family Guy. And personally, I can't do Family Guy, and I've been bored with The Simpsons for a long time. So I'm going to switch this to Simpsons or Bob's Burgers.
I mean, those first, like 8 or 9 seasons are just creme de la creme, best, like, TV show era of all time.
Sure.
Shaped my sense of humor. So I'm going to have to go with Simpsons. I do love Bob's Burgers. It's very charming, a very funny show, but
I adore Bob's Burgers at this time. And let alone, I don't know if it's just that dude's dumbass voice, but the Archer stuff too. Anyways.
Oh, yeah.
That's a conversation for a different podcast. What's the fastest speed you've ever driven?
Ooh, probably only like 85, honestly. I'm a conservative driver. What can I say?
Can't drive 85. Huh? let's see here. Stale Sour Patch Kids or fresh Circus Peanuts?
Ooh, let's go with those Circus Peanuts.
Oh man, there's no good answer there. That one I just put in there because they're both gross.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
I think I know the answer to this one, but I'll throw it out there anyways. Beer or liquor?
Oh, beer all day.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
What is the capital of New York?
Albany?
It is. Good job out of you.
Nice.
If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Ooh, geez. I guess fly? Is that the one?
Held bells. This one's a purely personal choice.
I think flying sounds like it'd be a fun way to get around and do cool stuff with.
You certainly save on gas mileage.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get a million MPGs.
Oh, yeah? A million MPG?
I get a million flies per gallon. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Love.
Scale of 1 to 10. How good are you at keeping secrets?
Ooh. I would say 2. I'm not good at that kind of stuff. I'm not good. Like, I'm just like, okay. I just tell people, just don't tell me. I don't want to know.
That's an equal parts perfect and awful answer.
Yeah. I was like, just don't tell me. I don't want to know.
woods or the ocean?
I'll go with woods. Ocean's a little scary. I'm just like, I don't know. I like the woods.
Sure, yeah, that shit's deep, and we as a species have no idea what's going on there.
Yeah.
Too
much.
Fall or spring?
Fall, definitely.
Yeah.
Big fall guy.
Go-to karaoke song, and you can't name one of your own.
The last one I did was actually Creeping Death with my wife. It was pretty good. I thought it was a crowd pleaser. I was trying to get everyone to chant Die, but the place emptied out.
A buddy of mine and his kid went to the Detroit Metallica show here recently, and the kid who's 22 at this point, was telling me in advance of going to the show that he hoped to death that they played Creeping Death because he wanted to chant Die.
It's a banger. It's a good
it's
song.
It's so fucking good, man. That's awesome.
Love it.
And the last one, and in a most important and also least important but most fun version here, sausage links or patties?
You know, I'm going to go with patties.
That's the actual fucking right answer.
Nice.
That is the right answer. And then
one of them.
There are some questions that as I go forward with this thing, I think I might feed to people before we're recording so that they can, because this one usually gives people a lot of pause, and this is something I maybe should have fed to you previously. But also the pause can be fun. So if you were stuck on an island for the rest of your life, had one album to listen to for it, what would it be?
Oh, man. Oh, jeez. Just one album, huh?
Exactly.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. The only one that's coming to mind is like October Rust by Tempo Negative.
Hey, I think we mentioned that previously.
It's a good one. It's a banger.
It's a fucking good one.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, just because... this doesn't make sense to ask Clint because he just named it. I was going to say, what would your favorite Type of Negative album be? But if you're going to take that one to an album or to an island, clearly it's October Rut.
It's a good one. I don't know if it's good island music, but I'll enjoy it.
it'll get me through. Okay, yeah. Like I mentioned previously, Bob, I'm going to keep you on here through the end, which means you're going to get to hear me say awkward things like, thank you for enduring this conversation with me today. It's been a lot of fun for me. I hope it's been worthwhile for you.
Absolutely, man. It's been my pleasure.
I'm going to tell everybody that's hearing this to be sure to listen to Octus at the highest possible volume immediately after this podcast is over. And if you're going to the Decibel Beer Metal Fest, be sure to look for Bob's beer. Bob, what was that called again?
It's going to be the Crown of Mountains IPA.
I can't wait to crown them mountains and drink that beer.
Oh, yeah.
thanks again to the Brimminghorn guys for continually allowing that epitomed code for the discount on their delicious mead. Just a reminder, if you want to drink better alcohol, then if you want to drink alcohol that's on par with the stuff that Bob's brewing, drink you some award-winning mead from Brimminghorn. Epitomead is the code, EPITOMEAD. At Brimminghornmeadery.com. I haven't been drinking. It's clear that I'm sober. Review us on iTunes. Jesus Christ, Clint. Review us on iTunes or give us stars on Spotify if you would, could, and should, please. If you don't already, please follow the podcast on all the socials. And by all the socials, I mean essentially Facebook, Instagram, and however the fuck we're supposed to reference Twitter at this point, because I don't understand it. And I'm not doing any of the video social medias, so you're not going to find us on TikTok or whatever the hell else there is. Bob, again, thanks for enduring this. You've been a lot of fun. This has been enlightening, and your music is fucking awesome. Tell everybody in the band that I and all my other nerds say hi. And this is bye from me. I'm going to make my fart noise because I like it.
Nice.
And I'm going to let Bob introduce the song that's going to take us out.
Thank you so much, Clint. This was a pleasure as well. I really enjoyed it. And I hope you enjoy the song Silfra. Came off of our first EP, our self-titled EP that came out in 2019. And it's epic and soulful. I hope you enjoy it.